Hey, good morning. This is Nemo Warobi, your host of the Afro Brit Rambling Show. As you do know, I am a best-selling author, and this year I have just been made finalist for an article editor's choice for a magazine I wrote for that life happens in a series of moments. I know, I've been terrible. I've been out of it, and it is within reason, and I do apologize. I need to be more consistent. I think that is one of the things that God needs me to be, is to be consistent. So, several things that I wanted to talk to you about this morning. First of all, I'm going to be roping in my friend Moya. Moya is a friend of mine from the States who I love and have a lot of respect for. I know she doesn't take BS and she's a woman of the word. And we want to talk about grief. Because I had to reach out to her when I could not cope anymore. So what's been happening? I ended up in hospital during Christmas into the new year. I ended up with edema and ended up with sepsis from a chest infection. And so I'm always like, oh my God, every time I go to hospital, it almost seems like it's a dangerous place for me, but it also brought in the conversation of death, the very conversation we don't talk about. Are we ready for it? And what have we prepared to do for it? So that's like our second topic. And lastly, I lost my baby sister. It was 5th January 526 when I received the call and my life stopped. And I've aged internally. I'm lost. But even in the lost and feeling lost, I have things I'd like to share with you, and I'd like to share with Moya together so she can take us through this process, because she was one of the people I reached out to. At the moment, I'm a bit wobbly, so you will feel the tension in my voice. I'll tell you about my sister Jean so that it will help you understand, especially those who have lost siblings, that the wound is very deep. It's actually a spirit wound. We miss them physically, but it's almost a spirit wound because she's spirit now. And I know she's with Big Papa. But it doesn't negate the pain of losing a sibling. We were having a conversation, and I was telling a friend of mine, you know, when a family member is lost, people concentrate on the possible husband, the wife, the children, and the parents, and nobody supports the siblings, and it's almost the siblings go away, either bury themselves in what they call their grief, or if they're lucky, they're able to weep together. So it's actually quite a difficult path to go. It also is very hard because some of us suffer from depression and we are fighting the rabbit hole. And we are empaths, like me. We feel the pain at a very, very different level. There is also the collective grief that is across the world where there's a lot of uncertainty. Ironically, as a Christian, we always live in uncertainty. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know when the persecution's coming. We don't know when the tests and the tribulations are coming. And ironically, it takes things like what's happening in Ukraine, the economic crisis, the political crisis where we don't even have leadership, and everything is uncertain. So here's the question. Why are we as Christians uncertain, yet God, he has said he will never leave us nor forsake us? Is it that we are not faithful? Is it that we are now seeing that our walk is not that strong? So those are some of the things we will be talking about over the next few weeks. And I thought, you know, let me get this started because also it might be my healing place. My sister was born as Jean Mugore Warobi. We called her Kags as her name as she grew up, but before she was just baby because she was the baby of the family. She was born on 4th January 1977, born with a smile, beautiful dimples. She actually looked mixed race, so we just even didn't know where she was from until my granddad said, oh, she looks like her great-grandmother. And my dad said, yeah, that's true. She did look like her namesake. Jean was a joy to all her siblings. So I'm the oldest, and there was my sister Mogore and my brother Lawrence Warobi. And she loved us dearly. When she was young, she was just like a cheeky little munchkin. And she knew she was loved and spoiled. And then she has these dimples that just smile and you just melt into them. She laughed. Oh my God, that child laughed so much. Even at inopportune times that you're just like, you know, especially when you're the old one, you just roll your eyes and you're like, okay, the baby's doing well. We all separated around 96 when we all started traveling around the world. She went to the U.S. and my brother went to the U.S. with my mom. And my dad and my sister remained in Kenya. So we're centrally in three continents. But the love that we had for Jean and the pull that Jean pulled for the whole family was the one that kept us together. She was the glue. And now for me, I've lost my best friend and my confidant. You can't imagine having a sibling in your family who gets you and is almost similar to you. I've always said of my younger sisters, we are similarly different. It will be in the way we turn our heads. It's in the way we listen. You'll see almost a copyright or a mirror reflection when we are both listening. There are things that we are both very passionate about. In fact, the three of us, not just two of us. And it also stems from my mom, where she gave us the important parts of our lives, like being saved, being a Christian, walking with God, and also being strong, but not strong in a bullying way, because we've changed and grown into our own personalities. I traveled to the States the first time in 2001. I hadn't seen her for maybe about 5 years, and my little girl had grown. She now carried a conversation with, you know, constructiveness. She was confident. She was my shopping buddy. I hate shopping and I hate clothes. So she would be the one, you need to dress this way, you need to dress that way, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I think one of the interesting things I realized, there's no hierarchy in our family. She bossed me around and I bossed her around when necessary, but not with a hierarchical way of siblings. She made me laugh. I've never seen a child that could make me laugh in a heartbeat. We could have been twins, but she was the not serious twin and I had the rest bitch face, you know? And she would always make me laugh. She taught me to be strong, to stand up for myself. She always said I was too soft. And when she needed me to push and stand up for myself, she made me do that. At times she stepped in and reminds me when I got very ill in 2020. She harassed every consultant and doctor when I almost died of COVID. They never forgot her. It's even in the file that she's my next of kin. And if I turn up at hospital, I always laugh. The doctors used to be like, especially those who met me at accident and emergency, they'd always smile. It's like, how's your little sister? was therefore with a lot of sadness this time. I had to tell them that she was gone, and they felt for me. And so I'm struggling. I'm struggling, my friends. And I'm sure a lot of you out there are struggling. Many of us have lost people. Natural causes, COVID, age, old age. The ones I feel most for were the ones who were not able to be there to say goodbye to their own families. I now know how it feels because I couldn't go for her funeral. I had just been discharged. So I thought I'd tell you where I'm at. My life seems out of place. But I was listening to Sheila Walsh the other night, and she said something that really struck my mind after her own episode of difficulty. She said, one doctor said to her, "The shepherd knows where you are." And that got me, that Jesus knows where I am. I can't save myself from this, and I definitely cannot do this without him. So, as I start on this journey today of believing the shepherd knows where I am, I'm asking you to join me as we go through the journeys of women, the journeys of pain, the journeys of domestic violence, the journeys of lack of self-worth, the journeys of questioning God, the journeys of even looking forward to eternity and wondering when, because I think that's the only time we will actually be happy. We will get peace to get through this life. But at the moment for me, I'm looking out and reaching out for others to help me form a community so we can talk about death, we can talk about how to survive, how to stand on the rock, and above all, to hold on to the shepherd's hand for the rest of our lives. You take care. God bless. I hope I won't be as wobbly the next time. But this is the authentic me. The one trying to hold on. And still trying to trust that God still has a plan for my life. You take care. God bless. Bye.